terrified she will tell me something awful is wrong. I have been crying for a week now, and I'm almost to the point of canceling my appointment. How do I overcome this extreme anxiety? Fearing the worst in Ohio. Dear Fearing, you may be having extreme anxiety because, with a sick husband, you are living with extreme pressure. Pick up that phone, tell your physician exactly what's going on, and ask her to prescribe something to calm your nerves before your appointment. Under no circumstances should you cancel it because you are afraid of what you might hear. If anything is wrong, it's important to nip it in the bud before it progresses. Dear Abby, I have been on phone calls recently with a married friend when the spouse will suddenly chime in without my knowing they were listening. There are times when I want a conversation to be private with only one person. What's a polite way to make this happen in a world of speaker phones? Confidential in Indiana. Dear Confidential, the way to handle it is to tell the married person you would like to know if someone is within earshot because you want your conversation to be private, and if it happens again, convey sensitive information to that person only face-to-face.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Wellness and Fitness, followed by the Women's Hour at 11.
Here's what's happening on the History Book Hour. We recognize Black History Month with one of the most brilliant and painful books of the 20th century, the autobiography of Malcolm X, as told to Alex Haley. It was released posthumously on October 29, 1965, 9 months after his assassination. Haley co-authored the autobiography based on a series of in-depth interviews he conducted between 1963 and Malcolm X's 1965 assassination. In this searing classic autobiography, Malcolm X, the Muslim leader, firebrand, and black empowerment activist, tells the extraordinary story of his life and the growth of the human rights movement. His fascinating perspective on the lies and limitations of the American dream and the inherent racism in a society that denies its non-white citizens the opportunity to dream gives extraordinary insight into the most urgent issues of our own time. The autobiography of Malcolm X stands as the definitive statement of a movement and a man whose work was never completed, but whose message is timeless. It is essential for anyone who wants to understand the African-American experience and America as a whole. The Autobiography of Malcolm X, as told to Alex Haley, starting Saturday, February 11. The History Book Hour, every night at 9, on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 46 and mostly cloudy. Tonight it will be cloudy with a low in the upper 30s. Then, tomorrow mostly cloudy with a high in the mid-50s. Tomorrow night clear with a low in the mid-40s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 10 a.m.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
We all want to live better. Healthy Life will help you discover how. From exercises and diet to dealing with life issues like relationships and stress, you'll discover useful, down-to-earth information on healthy living from magazines like Health, Weight Watchers, and Personal Best Headlines. It's all about wellness on a wide range of topics to bring you a healthy life. Coming up next on your audio reading service.
Welcome. This is Healthy Life, and I'm your reader, Tony Ray, with the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today I'll be reading from Women's Health, and I'll begin with several short articles about getting started. How to forge a new path. Step 1 on a beginner's journey, getting uncomfortable. The thought of trying something new often spurs fear of rejection or embarrassment, says Keith Rolleg, Ph.D., a professor of management at Babson College and author of What to Do When You're New, How to Be Uncomfortable, Confident, and Successful in New Situations. But a quick mindset shift can help you embrace this awkward feeling and find confidence where you least expect it. First, think about something you're good at. Then imagine a rookie joining, asking for help. How do you feel? You likely don't look down or make fun of them for their lack of experience. You're happy to show them the ropes. Putting yourself in the expert position helps you realize that we all tend to overestimate the risks and underestimate the benefits of trying new things. When in doubt, go for it. Permission to try granted. Remember, every pro was once a beginner, so trust they'll empathize with your stitch. So here's how you start. How to counteract cognitive biases that hold you back from your best self. And another one we'll discuss is inside the everyday magic of sparking novel neutral pathways, and why missing a fitness goal can be the reset you never knew was necessary. And the last one is discover a love for dance and self in the first class. So I hope I can get to all of those. You're going to need some mind tricks. Our brains tend to cling to what's familiar, which can stand in the way of really awesome opportunities for growth. You've always wanted to try Pilates, but you're reluctant because you think you'll be bad at it. When you do go for it, you only notice the teacher correcting you while everyone else seems to be doing each exercise effortlessly. You should just give up, right? Not so fast. You're caught in a common thinking trap known as cognitive bias. It's a shortcut in which your brain forms opinions and makes decisions quickly, says psychologist Leah Kratz, Ph.D., author of Gutsy Mindfulness Practices for Everyday Bravery. And it's usually based on past successes, as your mind wants to replicate them in similar situations. However, just because something worked once before doesn't mean it was a good strategy. Some cognitive biases hold us back from our pursuing goals. Confirmation bias, for example, entails looking at the evidence that supports your beliefs and ensures that you don't, say, notice the Pilates teacher giving pointers to others too. What's more, many of these misperceptions are counterintuitive, so we aren't naturally aware of them, says Wu Qian, Ph.D., author of Thinking 101, How to Reason Better to Live Better. But once you become conscious of these barriers, it's hard not to spot them. These tips will clear the way. Bias number one, loss aversion. Your weight potential gains against what you could lose by trying something new, finishing a race versus months spent training. You overvalue the losses and end up not following through. Here's how to counteract it. Think of gains as something you're entitled to have, or imagine you already have them. If you don't pursue that new goal, you will lose out. This can hit reset on your loss aversion button. Essentially, you're giving proper consideration to the pros. Okay, bias number two, the bandwagon effect. You tend to do what people around you are doing. If you have a goal that's outside the norm, like going back to school, the bandwagon effect can make you think, no one else my age is doing that, so I shouldn't either. Here's how to counteract it. Ask yourself, can I trust what I want right now? Spoiler, the answer is always yes. Why am I sensing that this is the part for me when nobody else is doing it? This goes back to your values and why you had the idea to say, get an advanced degree in the first place. Maybe you want to prioritize your education because you're single at the moment and don't have the same financial obligations as a married friend who is juggling work and family life. That's a totally valid position. Even if nobody else is responding or reacting in the same way, believe that you know yourself well enough to say, no, this is what I think is really important. The bias number three is psychological distance. Pursuing goals always involves waiting for future rewards, which to a person pursuing those rewards can feel distant. You want to pick up the new language, but the reality of being able to converse with someone in that language seems far off. The result? You count yourself out before you even start, and you are forgetting all the rewards. How to counteract it? Imagine future events using as many specific details as possible to make that event feel real in the present. You'll be more inclined to take that language course if you picture yourself asking and successfully getting directions from a local on your next trip. How about congratulate yourself when you realize a mistake? Awareness signals that you recognize where to focus next time. Well, it's time for Brain Weaves, another way. Wake up, hit the gym, swing by your favorite coffee shop, head to work. If you're like most people, you've got a routine on repeat. While having a structured calendar is often necessary, going through life Groundhog Day style causes you to activate the same brain pathways every day, which is not always a good thing. Mixing up your manner of operation by tweaking a step or slowly honing a fresh skill can create all new neural roadways, which helps keep your mind sharp and surprisingly your mood high. Yep, try something new can make you happier, according to Claudia O'Gara, PhD, a neuroscientist and women's health advisor. There's a wow factor because novelty taps into the part of the brain that is the reward center. So you get a dopamine release. Plus, can't forget the awesome health benefits. If you're genetically predisposed to Alzheimer's disease and start learning a language or skill in middle age, research shows you can potentially delay its onset. To get the most bang for your brain buck, sandwich a solid night of sleep in between info acquisitions. Repeat is important, but repetition interspersed with sleep seems to especially portend in driving the formation of connections, says Allison Bart, PhD, a professor of biological sciences at Carnegie Mellon University. So, say you put out a new watercolor painting method, do it again in 12 hours. Chances are the technique or skill will stick better if you've gotten 7 to 9 hours of Z's between the two intervals. Ready to spark some mind magic? Take the step below. Ready, set, to connect. Here I go. Fitness. A few times a week, work on mastering a new compound movement that challenges your mind and body. For language, during downtime, try various games designed to strengthen your vocab, grammar, or spelling. If you're going to commute, discover and drive a new route to work, or even take a different mode of transportation if possible. And in the food category, learn to cook a few new meals instead of ordering from your usual favorite. And how to up your mind, invite yourself to meditate for a few minutes or spend some time screen-free reflecting on the day. The spice of life, obvious variety. Adding variability into a fitness training program is critical, found a review in the journal Trends in Cognitive Sciences. This technique improves performance because it boosts your ability to apply the knowledge learned in new contexts, says study author Limor Ravi, PhD. Luckily, it's as easy as 1, 2, 3. Number one, increase the diversity of your regimen. Say you're learning to swim. Well, try experimenting with different strokes. Practice in a variety of situations, so switch up your settings. What are you wearing or other training conditions? And the last one that Jasmine Gomez mentions is play with your schedule. Practice an assortment of skills in one session rather than devoting multiple periods to mastering one. Well, don't worry, I've got more. Here's some strong starts. Need some inspiration to make that very first stride? Discover it through four women who experienced life-transforming moments. The first time I walked again after a diagnosis. Crystal Dorian, 42, Birmingham, Alabama, tells me this. Despite being in a wheelchair for almost 2 years after being diagnosed with two neuromuscular autoimmune conditions, I made it my goal to walk down the aisle at my sister's wedding as her maid of honor. As I slowly made my way down the aisle, I locked eyes with my mom. We were both crying and smiling, and she was nodding to say, "You can do it." With each step, I thought I'd collapse. My knees were wobbly, and I thought they'd give out. But I coached myself along, and I did it. Though I believed in myself, it wasn't until after achieving the wedding goal that I knew I'd be walking again. And after a lot of work, I'm now working on running too. I know I'll get there. The first time I, comes from another Crystal Sawyer, 34, from Massachusetts. Said, no thanks to alcohol. I was a bartender, and it was common to grab drinks with my coworkers after the shift. But eventually, it became clear that I couldn't make rational decisions after drinking. I knew I had to get sober, and for me and my two kids, I did it. The first night was tough. I ran out of work so fast because the temptation to stay and have a drink was just too much. And when I got home, I ate Cherry Garcia ice cream. Of course, I felt left out and the sense of sadness, something that happened after every first without a drink, first girls' night, and first wedding. But the feeling of waking up not hungover and being immensely proud of myself for turning down a drink is what kept me going. And today, I'm 2 years sober. The next first time I tried therapy comes from Louie Avigi Jones, 38, of Chicago. In 2017, my book, I'm Judging You, The Do Better Manual, had recently made the bestseller list. I wanted to ensure I had the tools to handle my growing career, but I was apprehensive about therapy, even though I tried to approach it with an open heart. It was important to me to have a black female therapist. I'm someone who takes a while to open up, but she immediately put me at ease. She was calm and soft-spoken. Yet she looked at me with intention. Now I go to therapy to stay happy and make sure that whatever baggage I have is not carried into every conversation. And if it is, I can quickly check myself. I'm a much better version of myself today thanks to the first appointment. And the last one, first time I ate a beloved meal without guilt, comes from Nicole Groman, 36, of New York. I went to a famous Cat's Deli with my family and had a pastrami sandwich with a knish and coleslaw. And for the first time ever, I stopped at half of the sandwich because I was full. This sense of post-meal peace washed over me that I never had felt in my adult life. Normally, I would have considered it a cheat meal and overeaten past the point of fullness. I struggled with my relationship with food and body image throughout my 20s, and this meal represented a huge milestone in my recovery. It was a sign that things had truly changed. As a private practice dietitian, I know how hard it is for so many, but with proper support, for me, that was a therapist and my own dietitian, it's possible to heal. If you're feeling uncomfortable, you're doing something right, says Kelly Newport, a millennial therapist in Chicago. Well, as I said, I've got more to help. help you through those first steps. This one's called The Golden Hours. You can try to fight it, but your natural preference for bouncing out of bed at 6 a.m. or dancing in the moonlight is in your genes. Humans have different chronotypes, or tendencies to want to wake or sleep at specific times, and it's influenced by genetics. Sometimes our chronotype doesn't match up with our lifestyles. So Matt Walker, PhD, a sleep scientist and professor of neuroscience and psychology at the University of California, Berkeley, and Claudia Arerica, PhD, a neuroscientist and Women's Health Advisory Board member, give guidance for a fresh start. You wake up at 6 a.m. and are out the door to get in an early workout as the sun rises. You've showered, cooking breakfast, and planning on the rest of the day's activities at 8 a.m. By 7:30, right as your alarm is going off, you feel refreshed and ready to take on a big day of meetings ahead. You generally wake up at the same time every morning with or without an alarm clock. At 8:30, with your blaring alarm, and then hit snooze, it takes two more alarms to get you out of bed, leaving you just enough time to guzzle some coffee and walk the dog before the day hits. Well, I should clarify that the first two are the morning person. If you're waking up at 8:30, you're right at the edge of a morning person. At 9:45, 15 minutes before you're supposed to be in your first Zoom meeting, you're incredibly sleepy because you were up until 1:30 a.m. working on a new draft of your book, and it takes a bit to get the grogginess to fade. Night owl. At 12 p.m., you're on vacation, and you can finally go to bed at the time that feels right to you. You're the one dictated by early. You are not dictated by early morning workouts and school schedules. You sleep in until your body feels rested and wake feeling energetic for the first time in a while. Now that means you are a night owl. Early birds versus late loves. If you're up at dawn pounding the pavement on your laptop keys, you lose steam by 3 p.m. You'll recharge right away by doing this. Take a nap. By now, the magic of power of naps is almost a cliche, but follow a few rules to actually refresh. Nap only 20 to 30 minutes max, so you don't enter REM or dream sleep. Schedule your nap before 2 or 3. This adds so you will not interrupt your regular sleep schedule. The room should also be really dark and cool to get the peak feel-good potential out of your quick shut-eye. You can go for a walk. Oh, it sounds so simple, but it works. Going outside and getting some fresh air prevents you from falling asleep at school or at work. If you don't have time for a walk, crack a window for a similar refreshing feeling. Rethink caffeine. Nothing wrong with treating yourself to an early afternoon latte, but for ideal sleep, cut yourself off about 12 hours before bedtime. Skip it and choose decaf to avoid trouble catching Z's later. For those late loves, waking up for work always feels like a slog. Speed up the sleep inertia. Days, blurry-eyed. So here's what you can do to help with that. Change the temperature. First thing, wash your face and hands with cold water or open a window for some cool air. During sleep, you're in a mini hibernation, but a quick temperature shift tells your brain to wake up and stimulates your cardiovascular system. Bask in blue. Early morning sunshine, a form of blue light, stimulates your brain, signaling it's time to start the day. A quick stroll outside or even just throwing the curtains open can help you take in the essential light and prep your body for being awake. The jolt yourself idea. While we naturally produce cortisol as part of our waking up process, adding doses of the stress hormone via a mild shock, a surprise alarm clock that slowly brightens or showing Showering ending with cold water can help if you're rubbing sleep from your eyes. And another fix, an earlier bedtime. We know you do. Hitting the reset. Here's what one person did that missed a fitness goal and how she got back. When I unwrapped my new Apple Watch 2 Christmases ago, I almost started a workout right there in my living room. Though I had already been crushing the occasional at-home workout, having all this health-related data on my fingertips made me want to go harder, as if I wanted to impress my new tech. So I set a goal to close my rings. Apple Watch slang for hitting markers for calorie burn, exercise, and standing every day for a year. For the next 341 days, I achieved it. Adding more movement into my life should have been a good thing. Maybe in theory it was, but mentally it was a burden. I'd forced myself to do HIIT workouts just to burn calories. I took frozen toad strolls in an ice storm to close the ring. Something that started as a fun fitness challenge was making me resent the time I took to move every day. But it wasn't until day 342, the day I accidentally broke my streak, and I realized how much I'd been missing out on. Using fitness wearables is bigger than just the habit tracking part, says Lakita Poole, PhD, Assistant Athletic Director for Sports Psychology and Counseling at Louisiana State U. It has been to be more difficult about lifestyle to reap the emotional benefits of fitness. In other words, defining my fitness journey by an arbitrary goal was selling myself short on meaningful, lasting, healthy challenge. The following year, I restarted that journey, but this time it was on my terms. I set out to find movement I genuinely loved, landing on kettlebells, yoga, and long walks, and I focused on how they made me feel rather than on the data I racked up. Knowing you don't have to hold yourself to some preset standard, you can carve your own path, Poole says. When we allow ourselves to be beginners, we free ourselves of some restrictions. In other words, just follow your joy and consistently and genuine excitement for those activities will follow. So to refresh your routine, create a new exercise narrative. Not a runner? Think you're too uncoordinated for yoga? Give yourself permission to see yourself in a different way. Uncovering new sides of yourself will unlock a whole new level of joy by releasing endorphins, hormones that trigger positive feeling in the body. You could set holistic performance goals. Aim to acquire a new skill that will challenge you both physically and mentally. By being excited about what you're doing, you're no longer counting the minutes and calories. You might end up increasing your output anyway, because you've caught up in having fun. And the last one is master basic movements. Master basic movements. It's an advanced. Conti says even her most advanced clients run through building blocks before doing more complex moves. For example, practicing a kettlebell high pull before a snatch. Every single day. What is great about learning skills is you are forced to slow down and go through all those little checkpoints to remember, practice, and master them. And your bonus is to do one more rep. I tell my clients that they don't have to be perfect, but they need to keep showing up, says Sarah Dussault, a fitness nutrition coach at Sarah Fit. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Tony Ray with Healthy Life. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
This recording is a service of the Allen County Public Library's audio reading service. It is specifically designed for and directed to people who have visual, physical, learning, or language challenges to reading traditional printed materials.
Prevention Magazine brings you great advice on healthy living, proper nutrition, safe exercise, and a positive lifestyle. Learn tips from leading researchers and enjoy your life for years to come. Prevention Magazine, coming up next on your audio reading service.
Welcome, this is Prevention Magazine, and I'm your reader, Francie Kiever, with the audio reading service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Today, I'll be reading from Prevention Magazine, January 2023. And now, I'll begin with Test Your Sleep Smarts. Learning about snooze time shouldn't be a snore. Take this quiz to figure out how you and your family can make your sleep more restful night after night. Sleep is a totally natural process, something humans are designed to do daily. So we should all be pretty great at it, right? It turns out that about 70 million Americans suffer from chronic sleep problems, and more than a third of U.S. adults don't get the recommended amount of sleep, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Whether you think you're a sleep superstar or know your snoozing could use work, take this quiz to get the best slumber possible. Why is sleep important? A. It keeps your mood stable and gives you energy to embrace your day. B. It powers up your immune system and allows you to think clearly. C. It makes it easier to follow a healthy diet and exercise plan. Or D. All of the above and more. Good sleep should be considered part of a healthy lifestyle along with diet and exercise, says Kristen Knutson, PhD, an associate professor of neurology sleep medicine at Feinberg School of Medicine at Northwestern University. The three really work together to support overall health. People who don't sleep enough often choose unhealthier foods or are hungrier, or they don't feel like exercising because they're too tired. When you're asleep, researchers believe your brain and body do recovery work, such as getting rid of toxins that build up in the brain during the day. The correct answer was D, all of the above and more. How much daily sleep should a person aim for? A, as much as they can get. B, it depends on the person. C, a maximum of 8 hours. I think it is important, especially if you have family with children of different ages, to recognize that not everyone requires the same number of hours of sleep, says Anne-Marie Morse, DO, a pediatric neurologist, a sleep medicine specialist, and a clinical associate professor at Geisinger Commonwealth School of Medicine. Younger children typically need more sleep, but that doesn't mean it's any less important for older kids. Recommendations vary even between younger and older adults. You can find guidelines for every age at sleepfoundation.org. When you're trying to create a schedule, make sure you're creating sleep time opportunities that fits your child's needs, as Dr. Morse. This means considering their extracurricular activities, homework requirements, and family obligations, as well as the time at which they need to wake up for school. The correct answer was B, it depends on the person. At what age should kids stop taking daily naps? A, 2 or 3, B, 4 or 5. Naps are okay for kids up until the age of 4 or 5, says Anna Wani, MD, an assistant professor in the Department of Family and Community Medicine and the Department of Pediatrics at UT Southwestern Medical Center, who specializes in sleep medicine. But beyond that, they can really interfere with nighttime sleep. Think of it as being like snacking. Just as snacking too much will dampen your appetite for your big meals, napping will lessen your appetite for your big sleep at the end of the day. When you take away a child's nap, they may need to go to bed earlier and may then wake up earlier, says Dr. Wani. But in time, they'll get used to it and you can make their bedtime later if you need to. The correct answer was B, 4 or 5. What temp should your thermostat be at for the best slumber? A. 65 degrees Fahrenheit. B. 68 degrees Fahrenheit. C. 70 degrees Fahrenheit. The National Sleep Foundation suggests 65 degrees Fahrenheit as the ideal sleep temperature, says Dr. Wani. We'd go broke in Texas trying to do that, but the cooler the better. The cooler our bodies get at night, the easier it is to get to our deepest and best sleep. Our bodies naturally experience a temperature drop during sleep, and when you cool your bedroom, your body gets the message that it's time for some shut-eye. If the room is too hot, it makes the thermoregulation process harder and can result in sweaty and restless night. The correct answer was A. What is melatonin? A. A prescription medicine that can help you fall asleep. B. A supplement that can cure insomnia. C. A hormone your body produces to help you feel sleepy that's also available as a supplement. When your retinas register that the environment around you is dark, such as in the evening or in a room with the lights off, a signal tells your brain to release the hormone melatonin. Melatonin will naturally kickstart the sleep process and make you feel sleepy. However, it can be taken as a synthetic supplement as well. In some countries, melatonin is available only by prescription, but in the U.S., it is less strictly regulated. Anyone can slap a melatonin label onto a bottle, and there may not even be melatonin in it. So we need to be careful about overutilizing it, says Dr. Wani. She adds it should be used under the supervision of a medical professional. If you're interested in taking melatonin to help you fall asleep, especially when dealing with a time shift like jet lag, Dr. Wani recommends that you check with your doctor first and discuss dosage. She says the doctor may suggest starting with 0.25 milligrams around dinner and slowly upping the dosage if it doesn't make you feel sleepy. It can be used for kids 5 and older, say at the beginning of the school year with a new sleep routine, but only under a pediatrician's direction. The correct answer was C, a hormone your body produces to help you feel sleepy that's also available as a supplement. Which of these food combos is a smart bedtime snack? A, bananas and yogurt. B, pepperoni and cheese. C, black tea and a cookie. D, whiskey and ice cream. Caffeine isn't all that can make it difficult to wind down. Sugar can be as well, and while a nightcap might be enticing, alcohol can lead to restless Z's. Spicy foods like pepperoni are no-goes if you're prone to heartburn. I would also suggest avoiding heavy meals because when you fall asleep, your digestion slows down, and so you're more likely to get indigestion or GERD and wake up in the night, says Knutson. But you also don't want to go to bed starving. A light snack like fruit or crackers with a little protein is a good late-night option. If warm milk helps you fall asleep, that is probably because of it being part of a calming pre-bed routine. Try to have a buffer zone between your active day and time for sleep. And one thing you can do is a sleep bedtime ritual, says Knutson. For some, a glass of warm milk may be relaxing and calming. The correct answer was A, banana and yogurt. When should you see a doctor for insomnia? A, if you have 4 episodes per month for 12 months. B, if you have 3 episodes per week for 3 months. C, if you have 2 episodes per week for 3 months. We all experience insomnia. It is a natural response to change or stress, says Colin Espy, PhD, a clinical psychologist, a professor of sleep medicine at the University of Oxford, and a co-founder of Big Health. When we have a lot of things going on in our lives, and those could be good things as well as bad ones, exciting things are looking forward to as well as those that are troubling us, it can be hard to get to sleep because these things are on our minds. When stressors pass, ideally you'll sleep well again, but sometimes insomnia remains. If you experience it 3 or more nights a week for 3 or more months, you may want to talk to your doc. They may suggest cognitive behavior therapy, the gold standard treatment for chronic insomnia. The cognitive piece is it helps you to learn how to let go and to give up, to abandon efforts to try to get to sleep, and to deal with the racing mind, says SB. The behavioral side gets you into a pattern that allows things to flow naturally. So the correct answer is B, if you have 3 episodes per week for 3 months. What is the goal of nightmare rescripting, a therapeutic technique? A, it helps you change your mindset so you no longer have nightmares. B, it enables you to alter recurring nightmares to give them a positive spin. C, it helps you record and analyze your nightmares in a dream journal. Often, when they're having distressing dreams, people want them not to happen. But the nightmare rescripting technique teaches you to practice the dream rather than avoid it, says SB. Avoidance consolidates bad experiences and makes them more likely to happen and more likely to terrorize us, and it also restricts our ability to operate. Exposure to those situations, along with changing the endings of them, make them familiar and sometimes even funny, and that de-escalates them. For instance, say you have a recurring nightmare in which you're cornered by a scary beast on the edge of a cliff. A clinician who has experienced a nightmare rescripting can help you process that dream, write it down, alter the ending so it's a positive one, and practice it. So instead of that mythical creature's being about to bite you, or your being about to fall off the cliff, your wings come out and you float over to have a lovely cup of tea with your best friend, or something like that, says SB. This technique allows your brain to recognize when you have a nightmare that it's a dream and change a storyline while you're asleep. So the correct answer was B. It enables you to alter recurring nightmares to give them a positive spin. What's the purpose of dreaming? A, to figure out solutions to all your problems. B, to give your mind something interesting to do during sleep. And C, no one really knows. There are lots of theories for why we dream, but scientists don't know the exact reason. What they do know is that dreams occur mostly during the rapid eye movement phase of sleep, REM. It is a lighter form of sleep that occurs in regular cycles across the night, usually starting 60 or 70 minutes after we first fall asleep, says SB. REM sleep seems to be particularly important for other reasons beyond dreaming as well. Research shows that a lack of this phase of sleep can lead you feeling anxious, irritable, or impulsive and impair your ability to pay attention, be vigilant, remember things, and process information. The only way to make sure you get enough REM sleep is to snooze enough in general. So the answer was C. No one really knows. If your sleep apnea isn't treated, what could happen? A, you and your partner may lose sleep and spend your days moody and fatigued. B, you could develop a chronic condition such as diabetes, heart disease, hypertension, or liver problems. C, you could experience a fatal heart attack, stroke, or abnormal heartbeat while asleep. Or D, all of the above. Sleep apnea is when either you stop breathing or your breathing really slows a lot repeatedly throughout the night, says Knutson. Every time you stop breathing, or even if your breathing is just too shallow, it puts a strain on the heart because your body's not seeing the oxygen it needs, and this causes a stress response. A number one sign of sleep apnea is snoring, but morning headaches, daytime drowsiness, irritability, and difficulty paying attention are all signs of this condition. To diagnose sleep apnea, your doctor will likely have you use a device that measures breathing during sleep. The most commonly prescribed treatment is just air, says Knutson. So there are no side effects or interactions with drugs. It's just a mask you have to wear at night. Admittedly, some people hate that, but there are other options. So if you try one and don't like it, don't give up. Keep exploring. So the answer was D, all of the above. Next in the health section, how to buy it. Light therapy lamps, the right one can legitimately boost your mood. When daylight is reduced to a few precious hours, some of us may feel a shift in mood. Winter blues may get you down on occasion, while seasonal affective disorder, SAD, is characterized by feelings of depression, low energy, trouble sleeping, and changes in appetite, among other symptoms. It's wise to talk to a mental health professional if you experience issues like these, especially if they last 2 weeks or longer. But whether you have a diagnosed case of SAD or you just feel out of sorts in the winter, bright light therapy is worth considering. It's a first-line clinical standard for treatment of SAD, per an article in the journal Chronobiology International. But it's also effective for less severe forms of depression and sleep disorders. It's generally safe, but do talk to your doctor. For individuals who have retinal diseases or are bipolar, bright light therapy can have detrimental effects, says Tidor Postolache, MD, a professor of psychiatry at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. Once you're ready to try a light therapy lamp, also known as a sad lamp or a happy light, here's what to do. Find the right intensity. Lux is a measure of light that indicates the intensity of your light box. You want a light to deliver around 10,000 lux, Dr. Poslache explains. But don't look directly at the light box or you won't actually get the mood elevating effects. Instead, let the light enter your eyes indirectly from approximately 16 inches away. Carve out time. Shoot for daily sessions of 20 to 30 minutes with 10,000 lux light. People who are more sensitive to light may need less, says Dr. Poslache. Stay consistent. A doctor should help you find the best duration and time to administer your light therapy, though morning is often best. Once you have found what works for your body, it's critical that you stay consistent, as light affects your internal circadian rhythm. Best lamps for sad? The Carex, C-A-R-E-X, Daylight, Classic Plus, $135, Carex.com. This light is one of the most effective and easiest to assemble options available. The lamp has a simple switch that can illuminate at either 5,000 or 10,000 lux from its 16-inch by 13-inch face. It's large, but bigger is better when it comes to BLT. The lights used in most research studies of the treatment have had surface areas of about 1 square foot. Because the lamp face is mounted on an adjustable arm, it's easy to find a good angle. Verilux Happy Light Lux, $70. Verilux.com, V-E-R-I-L-U-X. This choice is one of the most portable and affordable options on the market, and it delivers that important 10,000 LUX lux intensity. Some of its perks include a timer for tracking your session, 4 brightness levels, and a super slim tablet design. At 53 square inches, this lamp is a great option for travel or if you'll need to move it to various places in your home. Because of its smaller size, it is recommended for moderate as opposed to severe symptoms. And in the wellness section, natural fixes, breath work for hypertension. Practicing this breathing method for 10 minutes a day may lower your blood pressure. Taking a deep breath can help assuage anxiety, calm your heart rate, and even lower blood pressure. In fact, Daniel Harrison Craighead, PhD, an assistant research professor of integrative physiology at the University of Colorado Boulder, says one breathing technique can lower systolic BP by almost 10 points. He even practiced it himself. Here, he explains how breath work can help you manage your BP. What is breath work? It is the broad term referring to any sort of conscious control of breathing, and many types have been shown to have effects on blood pressure when done regularly. The specific type of breath work I use is high resistance inspiratory muscle strength training, IMST. It involves 5 to 10 minutes of 30 resisted inspirations through a handheld device. How does it work on blood pressure? One way IMST helps is by turning down the sympathetic nervous system, your fight or flight response. In those with high BP, this system tends to be overly active, and deep breathing likely reduces its activity. This type of breathing may also improve the health and function of endothelial cells, which line blood vessels. What happens during a session of breath work? A person breathes in and out through a mouthpiece as powerfully as possible, taking full a breath as they can. The device provides resistance, so inhales are very challenging, but there is no resistance to exhales. We have people do 5 sets of 6 successful resisted inhales with a 1-minute break of unresisted breathing between sets. The last set of 6 breaths can be very difficult. What does research say? Research from the group I'm part of at the University of Colorado Boulder and from the laboratory of Fiona Bailey, PhD, at the University of Arizona suggests that IMST will lower systolic BP, the top number in a BP reading, by almost 10 mmHgs and DPB, the bottom number in a BP reading, by almost 5 mmHgs. This improvement is on par with or better than what's seen with aerobic exercise or weight loss, but requires fewer than 10 minutes a day. How long does it take to work? Initial reductions in BP are observed within 2 weeks, which is faster than what's seen with regular exercise. BP will continue to decline over at least the first 6 weeks and possibly beyond that. Is IMST for everyone? You should consult with a physician first, but IMST is safe for most people, the majority of the research being done in healthy adults and those with high blood pressure. How can people learn more? We are working on instructions for clinicians. In the meantime, these devices are commercially available to anyone. The one used in my research is called the Power Breath K3, but we think any device that provides a high level of resistance would work. We also are developing a smartphone app that can guide users through a training program and monitor changes in BP. But other apps are available already. Ask your cardiologist or healthcare provider for more information before getting started. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This has been Francie Kiever with Prevention Magazine. I hope you've enjoyed today's reading from the Audio Reading Service at the Allen County Public Library in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, cooking magazines on In the Kitchen, followed by the Noon Book Hour at 12. Here's what's happening on the Mystery Hour. Starting Thursday, February 9th, we're reading the original hard-boiled detective novel, Eye the Jury by Mickey Spillane. Though tame by today's standards, at the time of publication, this book was controversial and earned negative literary reviews. Mickey Spillane responded by saying, "You can sell more peanuts than caviar." By 1953, when the book was made into a movie, it had sold over 3 million copies. This 1947 novel is the one that introduced us to private detective Mike Hammer. In this book, Hammer looks into the murder of Jack Williams, an insurance investigator.
This man was a very close friend of Hammer's and was crippled in World War II while saving Hammer's life. The murder was conducted in an especially cruel way, and Mike vows vengeance, saying the murderer will die the same way Jack did. During the case, Hammer suspects an attorney, a college student who has been in a mental clinic, and that clinic's psychiatrist. Meanwhile, the fiance of the murdered insurance investigator is murdered herself, making Hammer seek the ultimate vengeance. I, the Jury by Mickey Spillane, starting Thursday, February 9th. The Mystery Hour, weeknights at 11, on Recording Library of West Texas Radio. Read by listening.
The Midland Lighthouse for the Blind is currently hiring a production worker. Job summary: responsible for a variety of hand assembly production of writing instruments, safety and security items as directed by manufacturing manager or working foreman. Job functions and responsibilities: assemble writing instruments, package finished items that have been assembled. Additional responsibilities, if applicable: read work orders and pull the needed components from stock. Other duties will be assigned by supervisor. Qualifications: must be able to function in a team environment, and good work ethic. These positions are for legally blind and blind individuals. Individuals are defined as legally blind if central visual acuity does not exceed 20/200 in the better eye with correcting lenses. Alternatively, if visual acuity is better than 20/200, then field of vision in the better eye is limited to a degree that its widest diameter subtends an angle of no greater than 20 degrees. Benefits that are offered: health insurance, dental insurance, life insurance, retirement plan, MASA insurance, vacation and sick pay, profit sharing, tuition reimbursement, advancement opportunities. And for more information, you can call 325-653-4231 or visit 211 South Lee Street in Midland, Texas, or call the Recording Library at 432-682-2731.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight, 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much, I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a timeless flight. Touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh no, 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 I'm a rocket man, burning on his fuse out there alone. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again. And all the science
my job 5 days a week.